On a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life, or if you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a new theme, and it's different, and it's new and exclusive items, and you can only get it with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month, or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or a loved one that you love. Roar! I'm roaring! What is that roar? That roar in the distance is a call. Will you answer it? This month, we're going primal and unleashing the beasts of some of pop culture's most ferocious franchises. Ooh, alliteration. This savagely sweet collection has items from Overwatch, Wolverine, Jurassic World, and Predator. Predator's awesome. And includes, as always, our monthly tea and pin. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head to lootcrate.com/boogie and enter code boogie to save $3 off on any new subscription today.
Hey, stupid nerds. Download the Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. So you can find out what happened to Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all that fictional stuff that never happened. And don't pay attention to World War II or the American flag or important things.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
There's a lot of meat on it.
Yeah.
A lot of meat on these bones. Oh, God. I started the recorder, Dave.
Oh, did you?
Normally I try and catch us in a non sequitur, but I don't even have
well, that should never be that. Too hard.
I don't even have the
it's a lot of non I can't even say it, a lot of non sequiturs between our conversations.
You're drinking a big Red Bull.
I'm slow today, man.
You're slow.
Yeah. I just I'm groggy. It's early. This is early for us.
Yeah, we're hitting, what, about 12:30
yeah.
in the p.m.?
That's early for us, as people listen who have been at work since 6 a.m.
I only finally got out of bed and were like, I have to be on the road by 2. I'm like, all right. I was chasing it down last
night. Oh, yeah? Did you get into it?
Yeah. Yeah, I just...
What'd you do?
I don't know. I just drank the vodkas.
Yeah, the vodkas.
Yeah, and that went ahead and got the best of me.
What are you doing with the vodkas now? You doing vodka soda?
I was having that. I was having screwdrivers.
Ooh, I like a good screwdriver.
Yeah, but came home and it was just 3:30 in the morning, really playing bad guitar.
Yeah?
Like almost in an interpretive way, like not even trying to make chords or find notes, just letting sounds happen around
yeah.
me.
Yeah. I just did that with your drums.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Sometimes you just want to be in create your own sound bath.
Uh-huh.
You know? Which is what, that's what I look at. So I went and got an MRI for my knees.
Uh-huh.
And it's, have you ever had an MRI?
I don't think so.
I think you'd remember.
Yeah.
It's a giant machine.
Uh-huh. Is it like the CAT scan type machine?
Yeah. But it's real loud. They gave me earplugs.
Okay.
And it was the closest thing I could think to, like, oh, this is what an alien abduction would feel like.
Ah.
You lay down, and the shelf that you're on slowly goes into this giant circular machine, and it's like there's clanging sounds, which is weird. We're like, oh, technology usually doesn't have hard clanging sounds like a steam engine.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, no, this is made out of plastic. GE, I see the big GE
Should
logo.
Be that mechanical.
And there's digital buttons, yeah. And you think, like, whirring sounds, I could see that. And, like, mechanical, like, brr, brr, but, like it threw a rod halfway through or
yeah.
something. And it was just clanging around. But I found it very soothing.
Hmm.
It's like, you can't move. I'm like, okay, that's a good experiment to try and lay perfectly still. Also, I'm very comfortable in enclosed spaces. Like
Me too.
Like, it's like the opposite of claustrophobia.
Yeah, I'm that way. I think living in the van taught me to just
yeah.
be comfortable, you know, in a closet.
Once I'm limited and I can't toss and turn,
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, I can't do that? Okay, then I'm comfortable now. And so I was very comfortable in the
yeah.
MRI.
How long? How long were you in there?
It was 15 minutes each knee, so I think I was in there for a little over a half hour.
It takes them 15 minutes to figure that out?
For this imaging, for whatever goes on, a clasp went around my knee, each one when they were photographing it. And then I didn't open my eyes and feel a need to stare into whatever was
looking through my flesh at the time.
Now, keep in mind, before I say this, I know nothing about medical equipment and medical technology. But that seems kind of archaic. Like, if you think about our technology now, where everything is just such a nanosecond away, the fact that something as high-tech as an MRI that could achieve something like that and give you that much info still, A, takes that long, and B, like you said, clanks around.
Well, maybe they got a deal on old machines.
Just seems like they could – some laser could just do something, or some – just take a picture of your knee and boom, in 30 seconds they know what's wrong with it.
I mean, that's an X-rays are quick like that. Yeah. But this is to detect soft tissue. This is to see what, you know, what's going on with the cartilage and if I have a tear, like an ACL or a meniscus tear or whatever they're looking for.
So did you get the diagnosis?
I'm supposed to find out today. Okay. So you're a cliffhanger for next week's Boogie Monster.
Well, good luck with that, man.
How much cartilage do I have left in my knees?
You're still on that cane.
Yeah, it's not fun, man. I don't like it. I'm supposed to go to New York tomorrow. I don't want to. It's a walking city.
Yeah.
Big walking city. A lot of stairs.
Yeah. What? How are you going to navigate that?
I'm just going to take it easy. I'm just going to go to a lot of ground level businesses.
Uh-huh. A lot of taxis.
Yeah, a lot of taxis and a lot of stuff that's just right there, level with the sidewalk.
Okay.
Got best restaurant in the world. It's up second floor. Next time. Sorry. Next
oh, man.
Time.
It's a bummer, man. It's a bummer to be disabled. I know that's an obvious statement, but
well,
we take it for healthy, able-bodied people take it for granted until something like this happens.
Yeah, and well, and you're, you know, and your mom is a shining example of somebody who doesn't let her get her down. I'm sitting there moping around, man, King, because my foot doesn't work for a little while. Like, yeah. I need to be a little more brave about things.
Yeah, I think, though... She also has had time to deal with it. Whereas, you know, when you're an extreme athlete like yourself.
I look like a real rad dude.
Yeah, when you're a rad dude and you're jumping bikes off of rocks and stuff, and then the next day, boom, you're hobbled. It takes some getting used to.
My radicalness has been neutered from me right now. And I don't know how to process. How do I scratch that itch?
Yeah.
That extreme itch that I have from being like a rad dude. So, yeah.
That is quite the dilemma, Connor.
I know. I appreciate it. I'm glad you sympathize.
Mm.
So, we got in. Well, we can address stuff. Somebody said we didn't have food on the last one.
Well, we're not obligated to have a recipe every. We haven't done
honest,
a recipe on everyone.
This is more of a food podcast.
Well, yeah, I know. But,
we didn't even talk about food.
I talked about KFC.
Oh, you get – yeah, maybe it was the one before that we didn't.
Yeah, maybe
but
not.
The one before that, we were both space-brained.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one.
Dude, I treated myself. Oh, well, no, this is still a tail end of that, like of all the gout food I was eating while my folks were in town. I got crab legs. Oh.
Ooh. Is that – that's not a gout food. That shouldn't be.
Shellfish.
Shellfish is gouty?
Yeah.
Man, I love crab legs. I used to not give a shit about crab legs. When I was a younger man, because I felt like it was too much. Yeah, the old standard complaint is too much work for too little. Nah,
yeah.
But you get into it. You get good at it. Eating a crab leg is an art in and of itself.
It's a reward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look what I did to get this food. It's the closest thing some people will be to becoming hunters.
Yeah.
I think is, I got to dig in there a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Conceptually, it's strange.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, it's the opposite of eating a rib because the bone's in the middle of a rib. And this, you've got to break the bones to get inside to get to that tasty, tasty meat.
I never thought of it that way, Kyle.
Yeah. Let's go get reverse ribs. And people are like, what are you talking about? What is crab legs?
Did you see that there was some video going around? It could be 30 years old for all I know. But it's going around in my head of
he shot Kennedy!
Of a crab walking along the beach, and then he just, I guess he had a bum arm, and he just ripped it off, threw it on the ground, and kept moving.
Ooh, that's,
badass crab.
That's cold blood.
Yeah, I don't need this. Can they, they don't regenerate limbs, do they? Or do they? Maybe that's why he did it. Now grow another one.
Maybe there's only like five crabs out there, and all you can eat crab leg nights are just these crabs working hard. They're just working hard.
Or maybe that was his protest. Hey, eat this one, asshole.
Here.
But yeah, it was an awesome video. Just some video.
I never saw it.
Yeah, it's like somebody's filming it on their iPhone or something. Probably 6 feet away.
Yeah.
And the crab's just walking on the beach and just rips his arm off, throws it down, keeps moving. Or maybe he doesn't even throw it down. Maybe he hangs on to it, but he totally rips his arm off.
I'm going to use this later.
Oh, man. We were talking before you hit record about my new fancy computer.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about.
Dave's plugged in now.
Oh,
guys.
Man. I haven't had a computer in a year and a half. But anyway, I got a MacBook Pro. And if this one gets stolen, Jesus Christ.
Hell to pay.
Oh, man. I want to get oh.
What'd you, do you have it in a backpack or something that was in a van?
Yeah. Yeah, somebody broke in. A year and a half ago, broke into the van, stole my backpack with all kind of goodies in it.
Was it right how many days before you got totaled by a drunk driver?
Literally the day before.
Oh, Jesus.
Literally the day before. And then the next day, the van got totaled. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But Apple gives you these dumb stickers. Okay,
yeah.
Just little window decals about the size of a crab apple, of a smallish, you know, their logo. What am I supposed to do with those? Well, I don't care about your I don't want.
You don't, but for some people, that's like, oh, I'm a Mac person.
Man, that seems a little pretentious.
It's a sports sticker for nerds.
Is that what it is?
That's my take on it. It's not like bragging about it, but it's like, well. Like, if I get bike stickers, like, oh, I ride this kind of bike. You're kind of just waving your flag to the other people into stuff out there. I don't know. I don't get the computer. Like, yeah, we all have one of these things. Like, I don't feel pride. It's a tool. It's like saying I have this kind of microwave.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm having trouble with it. Because part of me understands what you're saying as far as, like, okay, I'm not into sports. I'm not into bands. Boom, this is what I'm into. I'm going to still put something on the back of my car. But, like, it's an appliance. It's
that's how I view it. Some people know. Some people with gaming computers, I think, probably put the stickers up there and be like, oh, look, I'm a gamer. I think maybe at a certain point in time, maybe the Mac sticker meant like, oh, I'm a designer. Like, I'm an artist with computers instead of an accountant.
Yeah.
Maybe I...
But yeah, it's like I wouldn't put a... If I got a new Samsung DVD player, I wouldn't put... Of course, that's ironic that I'm going backwards with technology. Like, I don't talk about what VHS tapes I'm watching.
Double cassette deck playing boombox right there.
But seriously, like... I don't know. It just seems weird. And they give me like four of them.
Yeah. All the Apple stuff comes with those. And I think it's just – it's free advertising. Bumper sticker, like anytime that is, it's just free advertising.
Well, of course.
For someone to think like even though like, oh, but I identify with it. Like it's – so why not? You can make stickers for cheap and they fit the aesthetic of your computer. It's like a simple white Apple and somebody might put it somewhere. That just is free advertising for you. I could see why you put them.
Yeah, I see why. It just seems.
I wouldn't put them on anything, but I could see why someone at Apple's like put some stickers in there.
Pretty arbitrary. I'm gonna start making bumper stickers for other arbitrary. Just chicken. Just have a bumper sticker that just says chicken.
You could probably just get. I bet there's a sticker that like is just a chicken. I mean, I'm sure you probably have to go to like a children's store,
or just a piece of fried chicken, a fried drumstick. No text, no font, just. Just a brown piece of chicken. Just put that on the back of my van.
That's going to be like a lot lizard type of thing.
What do you mean?
Like, remember when that you can get the cat's head? Like, you get them in the quarter machines at the grocery store.
Uh-huh, I do remember those.
It was like a glittery cat's head.
Yeah, what is that? What did those mean?
Well, what I was told before meant if you had it on your truck, it meant you're like, well, all right, if you're a hooker,
truck drivers
I'm
and hookers?
Into them.
Interesting.
Lot lizards, yeah. So I thought that's what I heard was the origin of those stickers was kind of a little waving the flag to be like, ladies, this way.
Interesting.
Let's bang in my stinky dormitory attached to this engine.
Oh, man. We should start our own little secret codes of stickers.
I mean,
just chicken just means hey, I want to eat. If you got some chicken, I want to eat some.
Bring some chicken over here. Real secret codes.
Bring some chicken over here.
Somebody's knocked on your van while you're sleeping with a bucket of chicken. Would you eat it if somebody just knocked on it?
Probably, dude. I'd be so easy to poison. Like I'll eat anything.
I've poisoned myself.
Yeah,
I think I'm just eating stuff. Like, why'd you do that?
Story of my life. But,
how's your keto klepto diet going?
What?
Okay, came up on that.
I didn't give up on it. I hit some road bumps.
It gave up on you.
Nah, I hit a few speed bumps. I'm going to get back. I got to get back into it.
Hit a couple of fried chicken shaped speed bumps.
Yeah. Now I'm about to really take it to the next level.
I was going
to
say
with my focus.
You were over here one night drinking beers and everything. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't think it's part of his diet.
Yeah.
Just punching down into a bag of tortilla chips and drinking beers.
I blame it on my friends. I do that with Singer a lot too. I'll proclaim to him, oh, I'm going cold turkey, and then 4 days later, you know, I'm drinking the beer and then thinking, why ain't he saying anything to me?
My friends don't care.
No one's holding me to nothing.
It's freedom of choice.
I blame it on y'all.
there's a larger government metaphor to that, like, well, someone else is supposed to stop me from hurting myself like this.
You know why I've hit a few speed bumps? Ooh, with it,
because food's delicious.
Well, that too, and I haven't talked about this yet, but I'm in between
breaking story.
I'm in between places.
Yeah.
So remember how when I went on tour, I was living in the van.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not on tour anymore, but
you're living in the van.
You know, I'm in between. I moved out of Ryan's place because it was right before I left, and I was going to be gone for like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then, like, right when I would have gotten or did get back, at the time that I got back, kind of the lease was up, and I had to re-sign a new lease. And I got a better deal that I'm kind of working on across town that hasn't quite developed yet.
I don't need any excuses.
I know.
It's okay.
But,
it's okay.
You know, it's I feel like I'm keeping a secret because I've been living in the van for like 2.5 months.
That's all right.
Yeah, man.
But that's why you can't be on a diet.
Well, I'm trying to get acclimated to my routine, and without having access to cooking.
Oh yeah, you can't.
I don't have a kitchen, so I'm having to eat out a lot, and then eat just like I got a cooler. So yeah. I've been doing like a lot of turkey sandwiches,
cold foods. You can have your cold cuts.
Have my cold foods. But then it's a race against the clock with the ice and it melting. I had some eggs, had some hard-boiled eggs in there, and then the ice melted, and then they stayed in there for like 3 days.
Oh, no.
But it was still kind of cold. I ate those.
Hard-boiled eggs, I mean, they're cooked already.
It's true. But I was kind of pushing it with that. But
I always push it. But again, it's like being an extreme athlete, but with your food.
That's true, man. That's true. But yeah, so it's been an interesting time. When you're on the road, living in the van's no big deal because it's just like, I'm on tour, it's different town, every city. But now I've been back for a few weeks and it's, just neighborhood watch every night. Just hanging out. I'll find like.
Looking out the window at weirdos.
Oh, yeah.
Any weirdos?
Oh, yeah. All kind of weirdos. Because, and I haven't really gotten into this, even the current situation, but even the previous 2.5 years. But there's an art to like where you should park. People don't understand, like if you live in a RV or a van or something, like can't just park anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you can't during the day you can park in grocery store parking lots.
There's
and stuff like that.
Laws for even the lawless.
Yeah, exactly. But so you like you got to find the right spot, you got to find the right neighborhood. I can't park in Beverly Hills because I'm going to stick out cuz people are going to be like, "Hey, what's this weirdo doing in this van?"
And put a pool guy sign on the side.
I've thought about like, well, that was what was great about the white van, the old cargo van, because it did look like a nondescript, just work van. And I thought about putting some magnets, you know, J&B Plumbing or something on there, just so. Because the whole point with that was to be
real
stealth.
Real sneaky.
But and you can't park, you know, you can park in a real crappy part of town. I could park downtown on Skid Row and no one would care. But then it's a dangerous environment.
Yeah, yeah.
People breaking in, stealing shit and all kind of stuff. So you gotta find decent neighborhoods, and then like kind of the industrial part of town. You know, the part of the neighborhood. Meaning like not right in front of someone's house or someone's apartment.
Yeah.
But like, you know, little
where vehicles can remain for a while.
Exactly.
Unpestered.
Yeah. So every night, I just sit in the driver's seat. Well, sometimes I'll sit. I got one seat. I've converted the whole inside of this dumb minivan.
No, some of your seats are still here.
Yeah, you had to hold on to my seats.
I got van seats. That's one of those things, like, you ever wonder, like, how did somebody just get van seats without having a van? I know now.
Oh.
I got some van seats.
Oh, you're a good friend, Kyle.
I wasn't using space. Should bring him down here. We should record from the van seats. Or maybe that's just rubbing it into you too much. Like,
no, I don't care.
I'm sick of this feeling.
But what was I saying? Anyway, so I got one seat. I left one seat. It's the very back passenger side seat. So I'll sit completely blacked out with my curtains and everything in the dark. And I'll leave. I have a windshield visor that I'll put up at night when I go to sleep. That way, with the I got these custom curtains and the windshield visor, and it's completely dark, blacked out in there.
Are they custom because your van didn't have curtains in it, so you put some curtains up? Is that why?
It's yeah, they're custom. No, I had them. I had them made to order.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I had them made to order.
Oh, legit custom.
Yeah,
legit
custom. Yeah, seriously.
Tape some old T-shirts to the window.
Well, I have done that in the past. I used to string hoodies along the handrails, kind of drape them so it'd be like a curtain. And then I was like, why don't I just go get some, curtains?
Go on, treat yourself on some custom curtains for your home.
But it is fun. I still haven't made my point. It's not a good point, but it's my point.
You got to know where you put.
I will sit in that rear passenger seat, deep into the van, third row seat. And then behind me and to the sides are completely blacked out. And then with just the windshield exposed. And then at night, I'll just sit and I'll listen to podcasts or I'll do some research or do whatever. But like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm just sitting and then I'm watching.
Like a little movie screen.
Yeah, watching the little area that's of my perspective there. And still waiting to see some real creepy shit. I think this is when I'm going to see some black-eyed children or some Men in Black. But it's interesting. I'm out. I'm experiencing a real mundane part of the world that most people don't experience.
The nighttime. Yeah.
Just out in them streets in the nighttime.
I like that. Yeah, when you find yourself like, oh, the bars are closed. Or for somebody like I've been jet lagged before. It's 5 in the morning. I'm like, I guess I'll just go for a walk. I can't sleep.
Yeah.
It's a real eerie time.
I do that a lot, too,
coyotes.
By the way.
You see the coyotes.
I love... Try not to incriminate myself here. I love creeping around in the middle of the night. I do that a lot.
A weird sentence to say.
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
Trying to incriminate yourself.
No, I'm not doing anything. I'm not. I got no ill intentions, but I do operate like a cat burglar or a criminal, just lurking around in odd hours of the night
for no reason. Just peeking around tree trunks, hiding under picnic tables.
Fortunately, I'm using my powers for good. But I do. I do a lot of creeping and a lot of lurking.
I like how your powers that you're using are just you're awake.
No, but I'm a guy out there. Literally, I creep around neighborhoods. But
you're trying to creep on the creepers.
Doing no harm.
Yeah.
Doing no harm. I'm not here to...
Justice.
Just bored. Well, yeah, that too.
Oh, bored man. Justice. Dave Stone story. Somebody's got to do it. Bored justice. You're going to become – did you watch that movie, like the guy who can't stop seeing UFOs or whatever it's called?
No.
It's on Netflix. Like I got this call, like the guy cursed with seeing UFOs. It's some guy up in Monterey.
Is it a movie or a documentary?
Documentary.
Oh, really?
This guy, he's a wild character, but he just always is seeing – he's always recording them. And they are legitimate, like three light triangle shapes in the sky that move together that are far too large to be an aircraft. And he's always seeing them. And he's out to lunch. The dude is out to lunch. But it seems like you're going to be like him. Like he just kind of wanders around Monterey, driving around at night with his video cameras, and he always sees stuff.
It's a weird lifestyle, man. I used to do this in the first run of the van.
Yeah.
Just 2.5 years of just sitting staring at shit. People walking home from the bars, they just see this guy sitting in the driver's seat of a parked van.
Yeah.
People all the time are like, what's this guy doing?
They're right to do that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I know you, so I know you're harmless. Mm-hmm. But, just a guy. Whenever somebody's just sitting in their car and not on their phone, like, what? I've had to do that. I got a parking ticket while I was sleeping in my car once. I thought that was a dick move.
Yeah, just wake me up and tell me to move.
I pulled over at a meter. I just had to kill time between something, so I was nodded off. Like, you could have just tapped on my window.
Yeah.
Been cool. But look, I'm asking Meter maids to be cool.
Yeah.
It's inherently not a cool thing. Like, you never like, I'm a cool person. Also, I write parking tickets.
I know everybody's got to have a job, but man, find another job. Just writing chicken shit tickets.
You vultures.
Just, ugh.
You vultures.
I've gotten so many bullshit. I got a ticket one time. I wasn't parked in the red. I was parked in where I should have been parked, but my bumper was too close to the red. Because apparently the law is like it's got to be 6 inches. You got to be 6 inches into your spot when you're parking on the street.
Fuck that.
I was in my spot, but instead of 6 inches away, I was like 2 inches from the red. I got a ticket for that. Chicken shit dumbass.
That sounds fake.
No.
That sounds like when the state's running out of money. Like, of course. Right, start writing tickets for everything.
Oh, yeah. They're just fundraisers. In L.A., they're just terrible. You know what they do? I used to dodge those. I used to not pay my parking tickets.
Well, that never works.
But, when you go to...
I did that with the iPass in Chicago where you drive through the toll. I'm like, they can't see.
Yeah.
Like, tickets like $500 worth of tickets.
And they tack it on to your vehicle registration when you go to renew your registration every year.
Oh, so that's how they
So do. This year I got a healthy registration.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, man. Dave. So if you need anything, you know, if you need any reconnaissance work... If you need me to spy on someone, I'm thinking about just starting like a good guy A team. Well, the A team were good guys.
Be your own spy agency.
Yeah,
random vigilante work. You need me to rough somebody up? I could do that. I could cast a pretty scary impression on people. Also willing to still doing the cooking thing. Still got biscuits out there. Biscuits and fried chicken. Can still do that. A lot of skills. You're like the bodyguard. You're the bodyguard that a woman falls in love with. Because you're like, after she gets scared by a stalker and you save her, then you make her breakfast in the morning. She's like, oh, I've never been so scared. And you're like, shh. Diana, you're safe now. And you lay her in bed, and then you just stay up all night guarding the house, and then you make a wickedest tits breakfast. Oh, and man. She's like, this guy, I've been flaunting around town with these posh actor boys. I need somebody with a little meat on their bones.
Ladies, take note.
Dave gonna protect you.
I'll treat you right.
Dave gonna scare off everyone around you.
Oh, man. So, yeah, man. That's
become Dave's single site. It's Dinder. It's Dave Tinder. I'm a man. I'm a strong man. Cook food. Keep you alive. Call me.
Oh, boy. That's funny. Oh, man. When you really lay it out there, I'm a real dipshit.
What I was saying.
No, for me. Like, once it's all mapped out, boy, yeah, what a fucking goober. But yeah, it's what I'm doing right now, man. Just lurking around, living in a van. It's not permanent this time. Like, last time I thought it was permanent. Like, no, this is it. This is 20 years.
Not good with real structures.
But yeah, no, I'm going to get out soon. I got something
You're
coming up.
You're doing fine, man. You work at your own speed. Nobody judging you but yourself.
What else going on, buddy? Should we get into it?
Yeah, I don't have any foodstuffs or anything exciting. I've been laid up all week hobbling, so I got nothing. I'm all hungover today.
Oh, man, I doubled Real back hard. And got those leftovers from Gus's. And we were talking about that last week.
Oh, yeah, you almost forgot to take that piece of chicken.
I did. I left.
Yeah.
And then I circled back.
2 minutes later. Oh, man, I forgot that chicken. I pulled away, but I'll drive back. I'll turn around.
Turning around
for one piece of chicken and mac and cheese.
Leftover Gus's. I don't have any food stuff this week. Let's get into it. This is a continuation of last week's episode.
Yeah, I realized last week we were talking about you did research, but I was... really caught off guard. I thought I could bullshit through that one a little bit better, but I was not good at it. Thinking about it, though, since last week, I was kind of thinking, like, what if New World Order, like, what if it is basically angels but for conspiracy theorists? Like, for people, like, well, I don't know what happened. Angels did it. Or like Jesus. Like, that's the mysterious thing that that explains away the unexplainable. And so the conspiracy theory is like, no, man, it's a shadow government. That's why this is all happening. Because it's too sad or depressing to believe that our elected officials are still just dipshit human beings who, on a scale of intelligence, are only mildly more intelligent than the rest of the people, and they're in charge of all our lives.
Yeah.
Which is very well may be the reality, but how depressing is that?
Yeah. That's a great point. Just sort of vague.
Yeah.
You know.
We, every time there's an election, we just pick the shiniest asshole, and then that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I would rather there be a secret society.
Just blame it on them.
Good or bad. Like, I want to know somebody else is in charge.
And you don't. And it doesn't have to make sense, you know, the same way, you know, a loving God would let terrible, terrible shit happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know? You just have to explain it away. Yeah, I'll get that. All right.
Mm.
Well, we brought up some questions last week.
Yes.
And we were talking about how it was the families. Also, kind of a uniquely American idea, the New World Order. Perhaps that, maybe because the United States is the newest superpower in the global regime. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Because we are by far the youngest superpower. I was trying to think, what's a younger country in general? I'm sure there's been the way countries kind of changed, the way the Ukraine, but like as far as a big, like a superpower, obviously, by far the youngest, right?
I would think so. Because, I mean, what are the other ones? You got
Russia.
China. The English Empire. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so I think it's, maybe it arose with that, like okay, well, we're new and we got to have, like, oh, I don't know. Oh, God, I'm so hungover. you brought in some new info, some new intel.
Yeah, just, well, I mean, it's such a vague concept, the New World Order. Okay, it's a shadow government. Okay, it's the elite, you know, run the world right in front of our faces, but we don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about, like, okay, and I'm on board with the concept of a new world order.
Yeah.
Closer or further?
Just into it.
Ways. Oh, okay, gotcha. There we go, like that.
Yeah.
Still learning how to use these microphones. But
I farted on the exercise ball. It made a little silly echoey sound.
And by the way, I'm a lot of these topics that we present, you know, we kind of have mixed whether or not we buy into them. I'm 100% on board. I don't agree with it, but I'm on board with the concept of yes, there is.
I think
an elite.
Yeah, there's somebody else pulling the strings.
Yeah, it ain't all what we think it is. So anyway, and it all filters back to global depopulation. Mm-hmm. There's simply too many people, and we're running out of resources, and the elite want to have their version of a utopia, which would be a dystopia for everybody else involved.
Yeah.
But so they, you know, they got to get rid of a lot of people. We talked about this before, but 7 billion people on the planet now, 7 billion and change, they want to get it down to like a third of that. So they got to get rid of 4 or 5 billion people.
But this is not something I agree with, but I can imagine them sitting there looking at like just poverty-stricken countries where just everybody's just in poverty, living in chains, just being like, just get rid of it.
Exactly.
Like, just get rid of all those people.
Well, not only get rid of the, you know, impoverished countries and their citizens, but the New World Order is the one that put them there. All right? So how they implementing this depopulation? Well, that first one, unsustainable international development. You got all these third world countries that, okay, they're going to use their resources. They're going to exploit these countries for their resources that they may have, African countries, Middle Eastern countries. But as far as the society, get rid of them. We don't need them. And how are they doing that? Famine, starvation, stuff like that. So, I was reading something the other day. In the Congo, they're having a genocide. Did you hear about that? Like, it never gets reported on.
They're having a genocide.
They're having a genocide.
Like a beach party.
What y'all doing this weekend?
If you got no plans Saturday, we're thinking about having a genocide over at the place.
There's genocide going on in the Congo, and it's never even makes the news. Like,
nobody cares enough about those issues. Those don't affect How do they affect people here? How do they make people care here?
Yeah. And by this is a sidetrack real quick. But all right, talking about third world countries and starvation and famine. This isn't – I've never heard a politician speak of this. All right, mm-hmm. But it seems pretty simple. If – and I don't know the exact stats, but there are populations, giant populations in Africa, for example, mm-hmm. and in other parts of the world, but in Africa, they're just starving to death. Mm-hmm. You see the commercials every day,
yeah.
the charitable commercials. Can we get those people to stop procreating, or is at least stop procreating as much? I've never heard anybody speak of this. Can we teach them birth control?
I got a little pushback when you mentioned that before.
Did I mention this before?
Yeah. I think it's
what's the
not
pushback?
So simple. I think a lot of it is rape. I think a lot okay. of it is, you know. Yeah. It's,
okay.
It's
well, that, yes.
Sexual abuse and rape that happens. A lot of it is they don't have access to that kind of stuff, and it's the one free thing that feels good.
Mm-hmm. Well, if they don't have access to it, that's my point. Why?
Yeah.
How about we step in and give them access to birth control, to
because
condoms, whatever?
Not that might not be their culture either. They might not.
I'm just saying, what good is it to procreate if that kid is going to be born and immediately starve to death? How about we stop having kids?
I don't think it's viewed that way. I don't think it's always the woman's choice to be pregnant there. I think mm-hmm. it's a lot of rape. I'm talking about places that will, the female circumcision just okay. strictly so they can't feel pleasure
ugh.
during sex. Like, that's the type of culture
okay.
you're dealing with.
Well, then
so
that's a great point.
I don't think they're too concerned about the poverty and all these other issues when just the conditions, the societal conditions with how women are treated. Like, I don't think it's also like, well, don't forget to wear a condom. I think it's like, well, let's hope that these roving death squads, these roving military death squads, don't rape all of us.
Okay. Well, we need to obviously address that as well.
No, there are absolute horrors happening over there, but it doesn't affect anybody here.
Uh-huh.
So it's not, of all the things to get upset about in the world and take action, unfortunately, that's something that's not impacting anybody here. So
watching little kids starve to death should...
It's happening here. It's happening in this country.
It's terrible.
That's a conservative argument all the time. It's like, why aren't we taking care of what's happening here first? Taking care of what's happening here. When does
we're all human beings.
Yeah. When does that argument become about Earth and not America?
Yeah.
when we find other civilizations out there.
We're all human beings. One of the slogans I hate the most, God bless America. Yeah, I get it. Patriotism. How about God bless the world?
Yeah.
We're all humans. We're all on the same team.
God, yeah, well, God chose America. Well, actually, I think God chose England first. Well, didn't he? No, I think God chose it. It's like, that. The God argument's a turd on a plate.
So anyway, all right, didn't mean to get off on that, but like it just seems so, and I honestly don't think about like the whore, you know, the non-consensual side of those pregnancies.
This was the analogy I was making too, like talking about God bless America. Like America right now, because obviously like, there's too much in the news to even comment like of what shit fire is happening now. He's blocking out press from his conferences. It's like America was the college star that was hot shit and got signed to the NBA for like an amazing contract, and we're at that point now where first season of however many millions of dollars and all the promise in the world, and we just broke our ankle and probably won't play again. it's like coming out of the gate and we're real cocky about it. We're the fucking best, and oh no, we are fallible, and we've proven so with what's happening now.
I wish I knew more about other cultures. That could just be the end of the sentence there. Enough to know, like, I get the concept of, like, national pride, but do you think other, like, people in China, are they swinging their dick around the way Americans are? Like, yeah, we're the best. Or Russia. Like, I know they all have their own quirks, but, like.
Government, I think, is, like, you know, like, look how strong we are as a country. Just why manufacturing. They just put everybody to work. Just be industrial. Strong economy. Like, we were talking about that before, like, how Olympics are so important to some countries.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's still the representation of the world. Like,
yeah.
It's our strongest athletes. You know?
But just this, America's the best. I've never been anywhere else, but America's the best. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the freedoms that we're afforded here in America. Yeah. But just this blind, we're number one. Are we? Are we number one?
A lot of people that don't have passports love saying that.
Yeah. All right. How are they going to implement this depopulation? Like I said, they're going to exploit and exterminate third world countries via famine, starvation, and forcing that famine and starvation as far as withholding and just – it's just the systems in play to just – these people can't win. You can't win.
Yeah.
You're born in some third world country. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right. Another one is war and the causation of war, both like – standard boots on the ground invasions, but also like nuclear. I mean, just war is going to be wars has always been around. People profit from it. Not obviously financially, these corporations profit from it.
Yeah,
but the new world order
elitism.
Yeah, the new world order is profiting. Is profiting from it as far as carrying out their depopulation agenda. You know, every time people, you're going to lose numbers anytime there's a war. So it's in their best interest, both financially and population-wise, to always be at war. And a lot of these families we talked about last week, which one is it? Maybe the Rothschilds. Maybe it was Morgan. Probably all of them. But a common tactic is they would fund both sides of the war.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you can make money everywhere?
Yeah. I'm going to sell weapons and supplies and fund both sides.
U.S. has sold weapons to everyone.
Yeah. All right. So war is a big one. The creation and spread of infectious disease. That's a huge one, you know.
Whatever happened with these scares, like Zika and everything that they finally got under control? But, like, I wonder if that was any part of it, just them testing it out.
I mean, to me, this might be the scariest of them all is because it's a silent killer. You know, war is one thing and it's terrible, but it's, you know, you're aware that it's going on. Yeah. But, like, the fact that, like...
Didn't even make a fart joke when you said silent killer.
But just the fact that there could be viruses, plagues, that could just wipe out huge populations just
biological
like that.
Biological warfare.
Oh, my gosh. That's why when 9/11 happened, living in Atlanta at the time, like, Atlanta was... very nervous because of the CDC.
Oh, I mean, think about there and just plucked out whatever they got in there.
I don't know if it's as simple as just dropping a bomb on it, like it's just a bunch of little animals that get free. But like, I don't know, like all the different diseases and viruses that are in that place.
Imagine that's where you work.
Yeah, how scary! Like,
How many hand sanitizers are around that place?
My God.
Just dry hands. Everybody's just pumping the hand sanitizer every 10 seconds.
And I know there's, you know, they got them contained and there's procedures, but still, just like, oh, where I work, there's viruses that could wipe out.
I wonder if they're like, listen, have some courtesy. If you're coming down with sniffles, don't come into the office, all right? Because that can affect anybody. Anyway, we got a vial of AIDS, and we got a vial of Zika, and we got. Don't come in here with the sniffles because that's dangerous.
So those are some ways that they're currently seeking out their agenda is war and unsustainable developments. Just
but it's like who – like I disease. Wonder what like the end goal is. Like who are the chosen when it's a third of the population – it's obviously going to be a class issue. It's going to be the wealthiest. What do you get? Like a golden Wonka ticket to the new future? Or what's are they going to have a whole section of a continent for themselves or just choose one continent and then the rest of the world will just be their farm and their waste processing plants? Like what's the.
It's a great question.
I wonder what the goal is, what the end game is.
Well, as far as the class system, a lot of people believe that if they were to ever achieve their goal and eliminate 2/3 of the population, then there would be obviously there'd be no middle class. It would just be the elite of the elite, the ruling class, and then everybody else,
the employees,
and those are in part as far as like how you get chosen to be even in that initial 1/3. It would people who have something to contribute. Smart people, engineers, doctors, scientists. I think we've made mention of this, but you and I ain't going to make the cut.
No, I don't think. I think there's better court jesters out there. Well, if when do people just like take their lives as a strike? Like, if you just have an entire class of people that only serve these, like, yeah, we're all just like, you know what? Fuck you. Mass suicide and watch them struggle. I mean, you wouldn't get to watch them struggle, but some kind of like, I'm not doing it. Like, no, I'm not doing it. Because then who's gonna? There will always have to be some gradient in classes. If it's all the same, just poverty class.
Uh huh.
Well, what happens when you don't obey? Who punishes you?
The enforcers of the ruling class.
But are they rich people, or are they still just goons and scabs?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Policing their own people. Because that's middle class. I mean, that's like police officer. That's middle class.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't know how a society can operate without the middle class. Like, they still...
I see what you're saying.
Bridge the gap. They're not doing something to make billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they provide safety, allegedly, I guess. Like the security force. Who would be the security forces for just the elite of the elite?
Huh.
They must be paid pretty well. I mean, yeah. What do you think about that right now?
Yeah, exactly.
Security teams. I guess I answered my own question. They are the, what are they, Black Briar or whatever that, I think that was from.
Blackwater?
Jason Bourne. Blackwater, yeah.
Yeah.
Those are security teams.
Uh-huh.
So that is who does that.
Private security.
Well, I guess they do make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But they would be the low end.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, you can't have one of these super elite, these billionaires aren't going to come down and get their hands dirty.
Yeah. Somebody's got to build your house, but you got rid of the artists, you know?
Cause yeah.
So all the house, everything's going to look like shit.
Yeah.
Everything's going to look like Trump Tower. It's like, gold, because gold's nice, so make it gold.
I want to go back to your previous statement. Where, like, how is the globe going to be set up? Let's pretend that they've achieved their goal. They've wiped out 2/3 of our population.
Yeah.
Now we're down to, I don't know, 2 billion and change. Are they all going to live in one continent, or like are they going to live in North America, or, and then use the other continents for like work camps and?
Well, when you
agriculture.
Kill off all the population, you probably will like be able to like in a disturbing positive sense. Oh, you don't have as much industry destroying the ozone. Like, uh-huh. It's going to improve the environment.
Absolutely. That's why I'm all for the irony is I'm for all this.
Of it,
the idea
how they're doing
exactly. I do think we need a lot less people, and the world would be a better place.
Yeah, and then if everybody's eliminated already, but that was what that meth head at the gas station said. Like, once everybody gets the feel, but like, so you're still going to keep the poverty, the poor people,
uh-huh.
sick and poor. Like, they won't get to reap any of the benefits. I don't know. I think you're still going to have your cities. You're just not going to have the garbage in between them. You're still going to have the coasts where, you know, millionaires and billionaires live with their mansions. You just – nobody's going to be going to – you know, nobody's going to West Virginia.
Yeah.
In the New World Order.
Well, for natural resources.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, you tear up all that stuff. Maybe – you know, five people own a national park now and they live there.
Which, by the way, West Virginia takes a lot of shit.
I know. I was trying to think of a spot. I was going to say Wisconsin.
They do have the best biscuit chain in the world. Biscuitville.
Biscuitville?
It's a regional chain, primarily in West Virginia. There's a few in Pennsylvania, Virginia. But,
all right. Well, I'm fucking sorry.
Don't get me started.
I'm sorry, Biscuitville. West Virginia.
No.
A few states I haven't been to. But I'm thinking, like, it's not your go-to destination.
Yeah, you know, I get it. Yeah. Well, okay. So in your scenario there, are the citizens free to roam? Because in my scenario, I don't think they are. I think we're not allowed to we don't have a say. We're like, America is just going to be, or the world's just going to be one big camp, like martial law. Like,
you think that's it?
I feel like it. If they're going to go to the trouble to exterminate 2/3 of the population, that remaining 1/3, if you're not in that ruling class,
I think it's a slow.
You're
going to
do though. What we say.
Yeah, I think it's a slow process.
You think so?
Man, this is getting away. Like now, I just thought, like, oh, that's what they're going to make people zombies. One of their diseases is going to backfire and make zombies, and have to be cordoned off in these areas. I'm just trying to think of what every city would look like with 2/3 less population.
I mean, yeah.
Like, what would you still do? Like, you still have to have employees. You still have to have people working a subway, just a less crowded subway. And it's, I guess it would fall into disrepair if you're not, if the elite rich aren't. Maybe that's the, maybe the elite will still be taking care of everybody. Maybe everybody will have just a better standard of living instead of poverty stricken. Everybody starts at the middle class. Uh-huh. Maybe that's a shinier way to look at it.
Yeah.
That because there's less people, everybody gets a bigger piece of the pie.
Okay, I like what you're saying.
And so even if you're a subway operator, I'm still making $200,000 a year as a subway operator because there's – but then economically, doesn't the value of the dollar go down if there's less people, or just the value of money if there's less –
I like where you're going, though, because I automatically look at it from a doom and gloom point of view as far as, like, all right, if we do survive, we're going to be in concentration camps and we're going to have any freedom.
But how,
where you're
that,
like,
how does that benefit?
You're more utopian.
Yeah. I'm looking at it as, and this is a gross way to look at it, but it's like you're cutting off the dead limb.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now everything functions better.
Yeah, the crab ripping his arm off.
Yeah, isn't? Yeah, it's good. We're bringing it right back around to the crab. The crab knew this thing ain't serving me at all. Get it out of here.
Yeah,
all I'm doing, like, I'm
just dead weight.
My body is just it's poisoning the rest of my body now because it's dead. Oh, look, now I'm a streamlined, more efficient thing. I think 2/3 less people would make the world a better place.
Yeah,
you can't kill 2/3 of the people though. You can implement these things that you're saying right now, like that's the despicable way of doing it. Although, if you're a billionaire elite, from some legacy family, going, yeah, but this is how you've only been taught that you're special your whole life because your family's been special. Like, oh yeah, well, this is how we save society is by killing some of it off.
Yeah,
and it's a cold-blooded way of thinking, but I could see how elitists who aren't in the trenches, don't know what poverty and don't know the good people you can meet anywhere in the world, can be like, well, gotta get rid of them.
Yeah.
It's like how you lay employees off to save a company.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, those are some examples of overall concepts of how they're going to go about this depopulation thing. In the meantime, how else is the New World Order controlling our day-to-day lives? Okay, big picture stuff. Well, these seem kind of obvious, but just to kind of point them out and see exactly how they're controlling us, you can really narrow it down to like three different categories: educational system, financial system, and healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is something I didn't
poor,
even realize.
Sick and dumb. Keep them poor, sick, and dumb.
Exactly. Poor, sick, and dumb. And, man, I'm a product of the Georgia public school system. Not until I became a mildly self-educated adult, as a teenager, all I cared about was football and Pantera.
Yeah.
But, as an adult, hopefully you evolve a little and you start realizing how little you know. My education sucked. Public education, there's so much I didn't learn. And part of it was due to my own negligence and just kind of spacing
it's
off.
It's a terrible time because that's when you're the most susceptible to learning, but you don't want to.
Yeah. And I'll take most of the blame as far as just being a dipshit teenager. Mm. But now it's like, no, we never even talked about A, B, C, or D. Like so many huge things, world history, things like that, we never talked about that in school. And it's amazing how much you don't know if you went to public school.
Oh, yeah. That's a recurring theme is that we don't know shit. It's not going to stop us from talking about things
yeah.
with unearned confidence.
But part of the motivation behind the NWA's running of the educational system. They want you to memorize without learning and obey without thinking. And that's essentially what our education system is.
Yeah, you know, memorize the shit.
Yeah.
Education.
And just obey without thinking. Just, okay, yeah. Just, and that's what they want.
Do you think the educational system's like that already because teachers are already put upon enough to get kids to pass class? Like, just memorize these five things. And the NWO is just like, well, that's going the way we want. Like, they don't even have a hand in it. They're like, yeah, that's working out over there.
I mean, could be. But so that's how they do it via education. Financial systems put into play. I mean, think about just the struggles that the majority, I'll say, of Americans deal with as far as just got to work so I can pay my bills, you know, got to work so I can pay, you know, got to have a house so I can work, and I work because I, you know, just that cycle.
Cash advance, just, you know, your responsibility with money.
If think about the way it's kind of set up, and not to sound too left-wing as far as like, why do they have all the money? But like CEOs of these corporations make millions upon millions, while everybody else in that company is barely afforded a living wage. Like, I mean, granted, there's disparity, you know, climbing the ladder and middle management, stuff like that. But as far as an overall concept, the CEO's just making crazy amounts of money running a company that's employed by primarily minimum wage or close to minimum wage workforce.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. It's weird when you get into, like, there's still people that are middle management. Like, you think of, like, okay, say, like, a Taco Bell. Like, oh, people work at the Taco Bell. There's a manager at the Taco Bell. There's a regional manager who actually probably has a college degree, makes a few bucks. And then there's somebody like, oh, I'm working at Taco Bell corporate. And they're, you know, there's still are these weird, you don't think of middle management at Taco Bell, but they're there. There's somebody in an office that gets paid by Taco Bell.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, essentially that's set up so that the workers, they don't have time for anything else like spiritual enlightenment or introspection or critical thinking. Just you just work. You just produce. Don't think. Well, you used to have that old saying when we talk about like part-time jobs and comedy. What was your thing? You can have
– I was being about – oh, if I could just – like I liked physical labor.
Yeah, you can have my body, but you can't have my brain.
Yeah, my brain's like, oh, I can do whatever I want with my brain. I can have any thought I want. I can write down new comedy ideas.
Yeah.
By doing manual labor. Don't make me just minimally use my brain.
Yeah. Well, see, you're kind of taking the opposite approach. You know, it's like you can have my body so I can at least use my brain to think about stuff. But
yeah,
I would think a lot of the workforce, it's just – you know, they're not – when you're sitting there at some job just toiling away 50 hours a week separating plastic spoons in a factory, you're not using that mental time to
– Well, but
if I mean, some people are
smart, you're probably depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're smart, you're going to try and get a better job.
Okay? Exactly.
So I don't think that's – like, it's not like they're beating you down.
Yeah.
Nobody's forcing you to stay dumb though.
That's true.
Like, the knowledge is out there.
Uh-huh.
Now, if it's not from an accredited university, like, oh, I didn't get knowledge within this regiment that gives me a college degree, well, where does that get to – where can you put that to use? I mean, just being a better person and trying to get out in the world, like trying to make the world a better place. But, oh, I didn't get a college degree. There's plenty of brainiacs that didn't go to college.
And, of course.
You know, they have a harder time getting through those doors. But nobody's forcing you to be stupid. They're not making it easy for you. They're not making it exciting to learn.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I felt in high school.
Well, think about this. Like, as far as maybe the archaic nature of our educational system, especially now when technology is at its peak and we have access to literally almost any information you could even think of. We have access to it via Google. But it's not in the NWO's best interest for society to break off from this old educational system as far as go to school, go to college, get a job. Like, what if there's just rogue academia? Like, what if people just, oh, I can educate myself via all these channels.
Yeah.
With technology and the internet and whatever, but like NWO doesn't want you to do that. They want you to fall in line and go through this protocol that we've set up.
Yeah.
And I mean, you probably see it every day now with tech companies and stuff, people breaking off from that. Like, nah, I don't need a college degree to become a millionaire.
Yeah.
Here's my
a tech company, those are the most important. Like, somebody could, like, no, give me your computer. Look what I can do with it.
Yeah.
Give me a job.
Yeah.
Like, that probably did a good thing for you. Like, you don't need the college education, but when you're, because you were 12 with a computer and you figured out how to hack into it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a threat to the NWO's agenda. And then lastly, healthcare system. Just, I mean,
that was a listener wrote in, was thinking like maybe that repealing Obamacare was another sort of population control. Like, no, you need to stay sick. Mm-hmm. You need to stay. Then that would go into financial also.
Yeah.
Oh, I broke my leg. Well, you don't have insurance. So that's $20,000 you owe us that you can't pay. Like, that keeps people down.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's really, if you think too heavy on this, it's a real bummer.
Population control is horrible and also necessary for the survival of the planet.
Yeah.
I think it's just like, wow, just, I just don't see, like, I don't know why there has to, like, I got to have kids. I got to keep my, like, why are you so special? Why are you so special that's your family? Are you kid? Your kids are going to cure cancer? No, they're going to fuck off at a liberal arts college, just like we all do.
Yeah, I mean, that's
but I'm glad I'm here, so I'm glad my parents didn't think that. Like, why do we need to have kids? They did, and I'm having a pretty good time. So
I think about that all the time. Yeah, I'm glad my parents had kids, but yeah. I don't want to. I mean, this could be a whole nother discussion, but like, just the concept that you've got to procreate and have a family to have an identity and or to have to find happiness. Like,
yeah, it shows off an idea of success. And
but and I get that this is this way, but like, to be a good parent, you have to essentially stop living your life. Not, I mean, it's an obvious cliche, but you give up on your dreams and
goals. I think it would help to have a parent here to counter,
true
counterpoint this discussion. But yeah, for me, I don't want kids because I realize, and I refuse to say it's selfish. Some people are like, I don't want to have kids because I'm selfish. No, if I had a kid and I'm still living this way, then that's selfish.
Yeah,
but that's why I'm not having a kid. I'm not selfish now. I'm aware.
Yeah,
I'm aware that I don't want to have a child. And the stuff I would have to sacrifice for a child, I don't want to do that. That's not selfish now. That's just being aware and being smart about it.
Yeah.
I don't like that you have to call yourself selfish if you don't want kids.
Well,
I think having kids at some point, how many, whatever TLC show they'll throw at you if you, bore out your vagina by dumping 8 kids out at once. And like, well, here's your TV show and you can tuck your vagina into your pant leg now because you just blew it out with your fertility drugs, and that's a sick look. It's boy, 8 kids. Fucking, you just ruined part of the earth. You ruined 8. You don't need 8.
No, you don't need 8. You
don't need 8 of them. Or whichever other show, like, they're celebrating. Like, it's child abuse at that point.
Ugh.
Like, at what point does that become child abuse where you can't be attentive? You have 8 plits, whatever.
You can't be attentive. Psychologically, and I'm sure there's been studies done on this, but like, the psychological makeup of a person who is one of 12 children, who had 11 siblings, as opposed to the person who had 1 or 2 or none.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the attention, the emotional attention they received. You can't, I mean, maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe they do.
I don't know. But I don't see how you could.
It seems kind of abusive.
I don't have one cat because I don't think currently I'm prepared to take care of one. How do you do?
Cats can take care of themselves.
10 children. 5 children. 3. 2 children. Ugh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're kind of veering off. But yeah, that's how they're doing it, man. They're doing it with the educational system, like financial system, and the healthcare system.
That is
system.
Like population control, though.
Yeah.
You got 12 kids. It's not going to go great for those 12 kids. You got 2 kids. You could pay attention to them, take care of their needs and everything. That's a population. You got however many billion on Earth right now, it's not doing good for all of them. You cut that number down, you can give the attention to the individuals, theoretically. Ah. Whatever. We ain't fucking fixing anything here, Dave.
Well, that's how they're doing it, man. And we mentioned this from the get-go. This is this topic. It just goes so deep. It's going on.
It's ongoing.
So many layers. So much stuff we didn't even get to. The Council on Foreign Relations, which some people think is a secret. There's an anagram in there. Is that anagram? No, that's not.
Yeah. Where the letters are.
Yeah. Carnegie Ford Rockefeller. CFR, Council on Foreign.
If we get to that level of looking for anagrams for conspiracies, like, is that still, like, oh, we're the wealthiest families in the world. Let's do a fun thing with our names where we change the letters around. Let's just lay it out there in the dumbest way possible. Like, where we switch the letters with Council of Foreign Affairs. That sounds great. That sounds like a real thing. They'll never know.
Oh, that's funny.
A bit juvenile for the leaders of the New World Order to just be dropping little clues. No, turn the symbol upside down. Ooh, yeah.
That's
my face. Ooh.
Man, we didn't even get to this, but like symbolism. Like even on our money, all the crazy Illuminati symbolism, the all-seeing eye on the pyramid.
A stone conspiracy.
Oh, my God. It's crazy.
The dollar bill.
But seriously, think about it.
Yeah.
There's some crazy shit going on in a dollar bill. I don't know, man. And all the – there's a lot of the symbolism is used all over the world. You see buildings. You see these buildings where it's got a weird – like, what the hell does that mean? It's like some Mason symbol or some you know – shit's out there, man.
But then I think they're obviously that's a symbol of masonry. I don't think it's a secret.
Yeah, but I think that's how they do it though. Like even the Masons, like, oh, we're Masons, but so much more.
Yeah.
You know, you think we're doing this,
pay
but
attention,
we're
just putting bricks down on top of each other.
Yeah, yeah, none to see here. Like,
well,
these secrets. They wouldn't even get into the Hegelian dialectic.
Might be a three-parter.
Yeah.
We might have a three-parter.
Or maybe just come back to it at some point.
Yeah. New world order ain't going nowhere.
But yeah, if you want to research this, German philosopher Georg Hegel. It's like George without the E on the end. Georg Hegel, late 1700s.
George?
He was, they pronounce it Georg. He developed the Illuminati's game plan called the Hegelian dialectic, which is kind of a three-tier thing where the government or the NWO creates a problem. They come up with a reaction to get the desired solution that they want. And if you really diagram this, I mean, you could apply this Hegelian dialectic to every war that's in the last 300 years.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like – I don't have time to go into it now.
September 11th was fake so we can get into the Middle East. Gulf of Tonkin was so we can get into Vietnam.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor was known about. I don't know if that was full deep, like allowed to happen, but I think they ignored some intelligence.
Yeah.
So we can get into World War II.
Yep. Because once you realize that the elite's all on the same team, man, then you realize that the game has been changed.
There's still a football commissioner, right?
Football commissioner, yeah. Roger Goodell.
So he's just in charge of all football.
Uh-huh.
So as long as the football teams are playing against each other, he's still going to win.
Yeah. Yeah. I see.
Look at it from a fan's point of view.
Okay.
No, our team has to win. He's just like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I just want people to watch football.
It's true.
Good metaphor, Kyle.
Good metaphor, Kyle.
You know, you're trying to make a metaphor about one thing you don't know about. Use another thing you don't know about as a metaphor for the other thing. Dumb asshole. New World Order is like football. Oh boy, would you step in here, Kyle?
Switching gears, something completely irrelevant. We're talking about the Twitter dynamics.
Oh yeah.
What is the deal? What's the deal? No, seriously, what is the deal with have you experienced this? And not to get too inside baseball here because we deal with comedians a lot, but Some comedians will follow and unfollow you on purpose just so that'll pop up. Hey, Kyle Kinane is now following you. Yeah, that popped up 3 months ago.
You mentioned that, and I think I know. I didn't realize that's what they were doing was unfollow. Just so like you notice.
So you'll notice and then be like, oh, Kyle's following me. I better follow him back.
It's signal boost. They're just trying to, I think having followers on Twitter is still what's important, you know?
Well, maybe if you say something worth a fuck, I'll follow you. Just arbitrarily collecting followers, but just be funny, be interesting. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, I had somebody think that I didn't like them because I unfollowed them on Twitter. I'm like, no, you suck on Twitter. Like,
yeah,
this isn't real. Like it's too important to some people.
But that's been happening a lot to me. Like multiple people following and unfollowing me, and I'm assuming like, and a lot of times the same people. They'll be following 30,000 people.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's basic rules of arguing. At least on Twitter, take a minute to go look at the person's account who's trolling you.
Yeah.
And if it's all, they're just constantly just, no, we were talking about this before. No original tweets, just tweeting at people hoping for a response. Zero, like, no followers, a lot of tweets, like, leave them alone. They got free time and they're assholes, and this is all they live for is to just argue on Twitter.
Jeez.
And if you have, Twitter, tweets versus followers, it's how much you're talking versus how many people are listening. So use that ratio.
Yeah.
And whenever somebody has, like, oh, I've got 30,000, like, when they have that many followers, like, or like that, they are following 30,000 people, and then they surprisingly have 40,000 followers, it's like, yeah. Because it's just people just follow back automatically.
Yeah.
It's dumb. It's a dumb necessity in this thing we're doing.
Now that we're tackling the real issues here.
Yeah, you know, can't all be keeping global poverty so we can eliminate the population. Some of it's just mundane bullshit.
I watched 20 minutes of La La Land yesterday. You lent me that screener. Did you see that yet?
I watched it.
Man, musicals would be great if they were 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
I get bored after 15 minutes. Just, all right, oh, you're singing again.
You know what? I know everybody's like, it's all the awards and people are upset. That I don't have a discerning, but I can watch comedy and pick apart why it's good or bad. And some music, I can pick apart why it's good or bad. But movies, I'm just like, look at all these people got together and made a movie. Good job.
Yeah.
And then if I like it, it's important to the world, whether I like it or not.
No.
I thought it was fine. I thought it was a fine film.
I wish I liked musicals more. I like the concept. I don't mind people singing and dancing, but it just doesn't hold my attention very long.
If you go see them, I always thought that, like, well, they're singing and dancing in the real world. It's silly. But then you go see one live, and you're like, oh, that's so much production, like so much effort and production to put those on. I'm like, oh, I'm just impressed by the display of it all.
Yeah. I don't like people singing in the real world.
I have a problem with whistlers.
Yeah, whistlers.
I don't see too many people just singing.
I see every now and then you'll see people like in their ear, you know, with their earbuds on, singing. Like, you're not, just knock it off. No one wants to hear you sing.
Yeah, L.A. has a solid lot of like, better act like a star if I want to be a star. So look at me. Look at me dancing like nobody's watching. Ugh. We're watching. And knock it off.
And you know we are.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Hopefully you're a producer. I don't care about that. I don't like really good whistlers.
Yeah. I've never been able to whistle very well.
I can't whistle. But like when somebody's good at whistling and they're whistling in public, I was like, I despise it. I would rather them being a shitty whistler because that would be funny.
I don't like recreational whistlers. I do like functional whistlers.
All right, now we're getting into
The guy that can
curious about that.
Can call his dog from the front porch where he sticks the two fingers in his mouth and freep.
Okay, like an emergency whistle.
Yeah, like we're
sure.
You know,
sure.
One of those. I wish I could do that. I'd be sending out calls all the time.
That's like good at that. I mean, like whistling a tune in line somewhere. Like knock it
it's
off.
It's annoying.
It's just the same as like carrying a boom box? Do kids have boom boxes?
I think so, yeah. Who are you?
I don't know what I'm
Who are you,
about.
Radio Raheem?
I'm trying to fight through this angle.
It's all right, buddy. Well, I think we got into it a little bit today. Still a lot of unanswered questions.
There always will be.
Per usual.
I don't think... I think some listeners had emailed in, the guy, about like maybe Obamacare, repealing Obamacare is, population control. I appreciate that. Somebody sent something in. We'll get into this in another episode, but Polybius. Huh. It's a video game that showed up in, allegedly, a video game, arcade game that showed up in Portland in the 80s, and it was giving people like headaches and seizures, and then they took it away, and nobody's found it since.
Wow.
There's only one. And I forget who sent that in, but thank you. That, like, that's the kind of stuff, like, this is a weird little quirky story that it might be a hoax, but it might be, it's worth looking into.
Yeah.
But thank you for that. Thank you for sending stuff in, and I'm gonna go eat some bread.
You're gonna eat some bread.
Something, man. I don't feel good.
That's okay. You need bread for the hangover.
Yeah, yeah. Not like artisanal. Oh boy, it's bread day. I just mean just maintenance. Just
okay.
Structural repairs. Well,
take it easy. Take it easy when you're out there on the town.
Yeah.
You're not a young man anymore, Kyle.
I will. Do we have a comic of the week? Do we want to plug something? Anybody?
We do have a comic of the week.
Who is it?
Very excited about this one. A lot of times we throw out names that a lot of comedy fans are familiar with, you know, because they have a body of work. But this fella has been the best kept secret in Atlanta. Until now, he's got his first album coming out.
Hell yeah.
My good buddy Paul Galwa. Paul Galwa, that's spelled G-A-L-L-O-I-S. Paul Galwa, I guess it's French, may be the funniest son of a bitch I've ever met.
Yeah.
I say that a lot. Paul's just, and you know Paul, you've met Paul, just, oh my God. He looks just like me.
Yep.
We used to get confused all the time when I lived in Atlanta.
I think early on I was confused.
Yeah, he does look like a pretty identical twin. Also took over my job when I moved away from Atlanta.
At the Albert?
I was the first comic to work at the Albert, slinging barbecue, smoking barbecue all day. I got Paul my job when I left, and he's been there ever since, just kicking ass. He's one half of King's Barbecue, who we've talked about, between him and Craig Holzer. But anyway, what's so funny about Paul is I'm not going to say he doesn't care about comedy, because he does. He cares about the graph, but like he's a barbecue dude. He's like, nah, comedy's kind of a – I don't want to call it a side thing for him, but he's obviously got other interests and, you know.
Atlanta has a lot of dudes that like they're dabbling and they're better at comedy.
Exactly. That's what's crazy.
Of the people out there.
He's not even jumped into the deep end yet, and he's still just amazing. He's just – I don't know how to describe him. You got to get his album, Man of Flavor. Is the new album comes out Friday, March 3rd. So it's not out when this episode drops, but in a few days on March 3rd, you can get it. Just, I don't know how to describe Paul. Just, he's got kind of a quiet swagger about him.
Yeah.
Like he's not a super high energy guy, but just some of the funniest, very, logical comedian, like makes great points.
Yeah.
And just funny premises, funny jokes.
Confident dude.
Just a confident, just quiet confidence.
Real, like, a real I got this attitude.
I got
stage,
this.
Which I like a lot.
Yeah, just so damn funny. And I've heard this album. It was recorded at my beloved Star Bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Rodney's got his own record label now.
Nice.
Rodney Presents Records.
Nice.
They put out a few. I think Shalewa Sharp's album was on there. A few others that are in the works. But check out Paul Galwa, Man of Flavor. I guarantee you won't be disappointed. Seriously, somebody get it and holler back at me and tell me how much you enjoy this damn album. He's got so many jokes that I know and love, but I won't do them here.
Holler back at Dave.
Yeah, let me know what you think, old Paul Galwa. I got a feeling. If you kind of like our sensibility, if you listen to this, you like a little bit of my stand-up, a little bit of Kyle's stand-up, you're definitely going to like Paul's stand-up. So, funny dude. That's our comic of the week. What else, buddy? Anything to plug?
I think this will come out. I'm still going to be in Jersey.
Okay.
St. Patrick's Day weekend. Ugh. Everybody, please come out to the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, St. Patrick's Day weekend.
Okay.
Get out there. I need you. Oh, these club dates. They can go wrong on St. Patrick's Day. God damn it. Ugh. All right. Come on out, everybody.
Oh, well, that's good. Go see Kyle.
I don't need the food gifts like Dave because my diet, I'm back to my specific gout-friendly diet, so don't worry about
it. Yeah, and I've got to really focus on this keto thing. So if you come to my shows, I still want you to bring food, but just meat. Just
bring Dave some meat.
Meat and whiskey.
All right.
Bring me meat and whiskey. And, I mean, I can eat vegetables, too, but that's kind of lame to bring me a
waste of time.
Here's a bag of frozen broccoli. Enjoy your show.
Put that in your cooler. Right? Okay, you got anything to plug there, Dan?
I don't really have anything to plug.
He got nothing.
Nope, nope.
We're going to go.
All right, bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster.